Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our community prayer portal call. And just want to say welcome, and as we continue this series, we have more about prophecy tonight, so I want to take this time to welcome everyone and give thanks to Marjean, who is orchestrating this call on Maestro, and who tomorrow is going to be turning 60 years old. So I just wanted to take a moment with everyone, if we can hold a little silence for her elderhood and then give her a big shout, yahoo, on the phone. So, blessings and happy birthday, sister, everybody, yahoo!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! That's wonderful. So thank you, Marjean, for taking time off this week to come and pop on this really important call that we're having tonight. And thank you, Sister Jo T. You're on the call, too. I'm so glad that you are back traveling for a moment as you and then I get on our ponies to continue the amazing work that you're doing in the world with the diversity flowing series that's coming up in England. And I know that maybe you can share a little bit more about that. But I just wanted to say thank you to everyone. And if we can just take a moment to appreciate all of you and getting on our, as you know, we have our mothership membership offering through the Center for Sacred Studies through our brand new website. I hope that all of you have gotten on there. We have had just a beautiful response of all of you, our own community members, coming forth and offering and sharing your gifts and your talents and your heart with the rest of the community on the call, because our community is really rich in what we offer. And so I'm really excited about that and all those that helped bring it that way. And stay tuned. We're going to be sending out a newsletter here shortly where I'm really, really very excited to say that CSS, as you know, has been putting on her new dress these last 2.5 years that we have holding this space for her, and through the amazing gifts of everybody on the architect team and our advisors, we now have 3 new employees, 3 new staff holders, I want to say. So stay tuned and you'll get to see who they are, and please reach out that way as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you. My heart is really full and excited as I get to step into my next seat, and with so much gratitude to thank all of the community for stepping up and offering their generous donations and their hearts and your prayers and your yumminess to move me into Egypt in October to be filled up with the grace and the wisdom of that ancient land and all that it holds on that sacred journey. So I give great thanks for that and all of you. So thank you. And with a next breath, let's just really all take a moment and ground together. Really feel yourself connected to this beautiful Mother Earth of ours, Mama Gaia. And with your next breath, feel that breath go through your body and let that breath connect each and every one of us with this beautiful Mother of Air. And breathing again, connect inside your heart with the fire and the passion that live there. As we pray for the element of the fire and all the places on this planet that Mama Fire is burning. And all those people that are standing up to protect our lands and stop the burning in the Brazil rainforest. And then with your next breath, feel the water that flows through you and down into this Mother Earth and up and around us all. And we give great thanks for this beautiful, holy being, praying for the rains to come and quench all of the fires. We stand in ourselves firmly on this Mother Earth in solidarity for all those who are standing up to protect our earth, to protect our waters, to protect our air, to protect our food, to protect our children and those that are coming behind and behind, so that they can continue to live in harmony and unity with diversity on this beautiful planet of ours. We stand up with our youth who are saying no to gun violence, who are saying no to climate change, who are saying, you act now, and we are. And I give great thanks for that and for that motion that is covering this planet. I give great thanks for those like our wisdom keepers, our elders, those who are seers, those who hold the prophecy that can come to us in this moment of time, in these where time is of the essence, and share their knowledge and share their wisdom so that we can take right action and step softly on this Mother Earth. For all those that are on this planet that who are activists and making a difference, we stand in solidarity with each and every one of them, and each and every one of us has the power to make change on this planet. I give great thanks for that. For all those that are needing our prayers and our help right now, I ask that this breath of life that connects us all be spread and blown all over, touching each and every one that is needing that love, that compassion, the kindness, the tolerance in these moments. I give great thanks for this Mother Earth and for that she gives us everything that we need. Bless her. Bless each and every one of us. Keep us safe, keep us strong, and keep on keeping on. Aho.
Aho.
So, Jyoti, I just again say thank you for being here. I'm going to get to see you a lot today, which has been kind of fun. I'm really grateful that we were able to go and pray at Mount Shasta this weekend with our bear sisters, and that we got to spend some time there. So I want to open this up to you so that you can share a little bit more about these prayer portals in the time that we're in and introduce our just amazing beings on the phone with us tonight. I hope.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sis. And I just want to say that you brought in this prayer of what's going on the Amazon, and it's really lighting up the world right now. People are starting to wake up like I haven't seen them before. It's kind of shaking them out of a sleep. At least I think the next wave of that awakening is starting to erupt. So I give great thanks for that. And while we were at Bear Dance, and what you just, if you, you should have gotten in your email today, is a request for everybody to join in at 9:11 in California time with a prayer and just hold the vision of rain falling down on the Amazon, quenching these fires. And we sent out an image that you can even hold in your mind or let your mind give you your own image. But if you can imagine millions and millions of people every day at the same hour connected that way through prayer, holding the Mother Earth, holding this rain, quenching these fires and nourishing her body, that is what is requested right now. And so you can read more about it and how it came into being and the request that was made. And please join us every morning. If you're in California, it's 9:11, and on the, I don't remember, it's 11:11 in Brasilia, Agre, where this request comes from, and then they break down on that email all the time zones and what hour that we need to do it. You just need to stop for 5 minutes and hold an image this way. I'm also going to be leaving next week to go to London, as Darlene said, to Flourishing Diversity Summit, and you can Google that and see more about what we're doing there. But Indigenous elders and are coming from all over the planet to meet there. And there are people of great influence that are coming not to speak to us, but to sit and listen to what the Earth's voice is saying she needs right now in this moment of crisis through the climate change that is seeming to get felt and known by many. So hold us in our connected prayer. When we started these calls last November, And at the request of many people calling and writing and saying, Jyoti, we're starting to feel hopeless again, and can we have our community calls so we can connect with each other and water and nourish the spirit of ourselves at this time so we can stay clear in this moment. And so each month we have tried to bring on different people that represent different lineages. There have been people from that brought on and shared about the condor eagle prophecy, Mindahi from Colombia. We've had someone that came and shared on that same call about the Japanese prophecies, about the dragons, the winged dragons that are coming. We have had people that have come from our Christian lines that have spoken about how certain channelings are bringing intervention and instruction. We have come to understand how prophecy is an instruction from nature itself to tell us how to walk these paths in this moment of time and how to be the instruments that we are in this moment of time. And we really are right now in the moment that our souls dreamed us into place so that we could stand here and stand up in this moment and be our authentic selves. And when we do that, we are the instruments of the divine, and she needs us active right now in these ways. So it's really, we only have a couple more calls left before that year commitment that we made will complete itself, and how wonderful that the timing of it will roll us then into the mothership, and some of the things that are happening there will continue this kind of dialogue throughout our global community. I know that there are some people that join us that are from Europe and get up in the middle of the night to be on these calls. I give great thanks for that kind of devotion, that kind of heart. And for all of you that have stopped your day to sit down and listen to this, that those that are on the call live with us tonight and that will add to this conversation and dialogue, I thank you. For those of you that will listen to this later in your own homes with your families and in sharing with your communities, I thank you for this kind of action at this moment in time. I thank you. So it's with all of that that I get the pleasure to introduce two amazing, beautiful people that I've come to know and love over the years. Of course, I know Yaya Omale the best. Omi is a teacher and instructor in our school, and through her work and through her inspiration, she provides guidance, spiritual guidance and life guidance, you know, with a wisdom of someone that is much older than the age that she is right now. So I just want to honor you, Omi, in the wisdom that you carry and the humility with which you carry it and the integrity with which you carry it and the line that you represent and the teachings that that line, that lineage is bringing into our dialogues and conversations tonight. And, of course, then there's your life partner, Chief Olu, who will also be adding to this dialogue tonight. And the way that I know the two of you and the balance between the masculine and the feminine and the holding of instruction from nature herself, from these mother elements, and from the great divine, from the universe that's pouring now down into you to give us instructions so we will know how to hold these times we're in and be the instruments we've been called to be. So with that said, I want to introduce you both. I want to give great thanks because everyone here comes and brings a free contribution to this community. Every single one is showing up here tonight just to offer this moment of time of contemplation and time of connection and time of deepening the understanding our community worldwide. This global community of many lines and many activists of many colors, of many ages are coming together. And this moment in time is the miracle of our time. And so with that, I pass this staff on to you. Please, I'll be quiet. I can't wait to hear more about what you have to say. I give great thanks for your presence here.
Ashe, thank you, Jyoti and Darlene. And Majin, And Jyoti, thank you for your words. And Darlene, we really honor you. We honor the work that you do with CSS. We adore and love CSS and all the CSS people. We always speak highly of it. And we really deeply thank you for inviting us to speak on the Oshun prophecy and on the times that we're in. And so I'll just check with Olu to see if he wanted to start first or me.
Hey, sweetie.
Did you want to start, seeing that you looked after the trance when it happened?
So first of all, greetings everyone, and all of your spirits, and all of your ancestors and loved ones. And I have a question, Jyoti. Are there any men on the call?
Marjean has the board. Maybe she could tell. Are there any? If there's a man on the call, you could raise your hand. Maybe sometimes the names do not show us that.
Yes, there is. I saw 1, 2. Yes,
cool.
There's at least 2 men.
Yay for the masculine.
Yeah.
Yay. 3. I see three.
Three?
They're coming.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, it kind of puts me in a different mindset. Oftentimes we're speaking mostly to women, and still, but it's good to have men. Brothers out there, much love and light to you. I know it's these times of transforming our ways of thinking and ways of acting. I'm a proud supporter of the feminine principle, and I love the mothers, the four elemental mothers, and all the mothers in the world, and our children, our daughters. And I just wanted to send out a shout to you in your struggle to make that transformation and hold this beautiful energy up in the right way. Ashe. So that's one thing I wanted to say, Omi. So Yeye Omileye and I, you know, we have experienced some very deep transformations, and the message that came recently leaves us almost breathless. You know, you'd want to think, with all the good works that CSS and others like you and we are doing, constantly trying to hold up this beautiful light and wisdom and compassion, trying to help the world gently change and accommodate all peoples, all sentient beings, and especially treat the elementals with respect, love, and compassion, and bring them back into the sacred space that they belong. You know, we've been doing it for quite some time, and it's just a little bit breathtaking to see that it's gotten a lot worse. And so this message that we received, it took my breath away, because we would want for a better context to raise our children. We'd want to be speaking about the love and compassion and the unification and the oneness and the tolerance and the upliftment and the progress that humanity has made in our time. And it was happening, but we just took a real swift kick these last few years. And so this is just a moment to say that the message really moved us into action, into thought, into spiritual action. And so that's where we are. I could go into more detail, but Yeye Omileye, if you would proceed, I will definitely fill in anywhere you want me to. But that's just an introduction that I wanted to share.
Ashe, thank you. You did a great job. So the reason why I asked Olu whether he wanted to go first, he's the one who actually managed the trance. The trance was about maybe an hour long. We had to edit certain pieces out of the trance that were not for public. But it was about an hour long, and he, if I go into a trance like that, he manages the trance. And I remember when I had this trance, I have mild trances, I have constant messages, but it's two messages that have really been really big and deep. The first one was about maybe 2 years ago, that the one that sent me to see the oracle, and it talks about massive catastrophic disasters in the world, and the oracle verified that. But that was a massive one. That one went on for almost 4 hours, that particular trance. And this was the next massive one. It almost was like a follow-up, and it came out of the blue like the first one. And it was a little disheartening, to say the least. So when I go into trance, there's a whole energy that comes with it to help me to understand what it is the energy is feeling. And so being the vessel for Oshun, she was feeling a very deep sadness for the world, that there was a deep sadness and a kind of last hope of, we got to do this, we got to do these prayers, we got to understand what's truly coming. I know a lot of people have been receiving dreams and messages, and especially the women. And what I've noticed now, a lot of women are emailing me and saying their partners, their husbands, and them are having often the same dream on the same night. The prophecy actually spoke about the last people being thrown off their lands, the last people who are the protectors of the earth, the last indigenous people who are guarding the earth. It actually spoke of the places where these people are being thrown off. And we were actually given more details in terms of names of places, but we weren't allowed to mention exact places. We had to take that out of the prophecy. The mother wanted to not create controversy, but wanted to share what was coming. And she said that the ancestors and the spirits were extremely angry at these lost people being thrown off the lands. She mentioned places and said these places are actually the heartbeat of the earth. There's certain places create balance for the whole earth. And so there was a very great despair in the spirit world on what was happening, especially because not only were these guardians of the earth, but the places were key to keeping earth balanced, and that the only reason the people were being thrown off was to do the final exploitation of the earth. So Oshun said that this has really angered the ancestors and the four elemental mothers even more than they were angered before. She spoke about she said that there were certain parts of the earth were going to get hot. So I'll repeat her words. She said hot, hot, very, very hot. And she said certain parts of the earth were going to get cold, cold, very, very cold. We're actually already beginning to see this, but the way she spoke as if it would be really extreme. She said there was going to be a very great fire was going to come. Ironically, this was about three weeks before the Amazonian fires came, which is actually one of the places that keeps balance on this earth. It provides 20% of our oxygen. And so she spoke about a great fire was coming, and then she said there was going to be a great, I can't remember the exact order, but it's on the audio. She said there'll be a great fire. She said there'll be a great shaking, and then the earth, a part of the earth was going to split. And the splitting is what sounded really significant. She said after this split, there'll be more shaking, and then there will be, in her words, a monstrous tsunami. So not just a normal tsunami, not just a huge tsunami, a monstrous tsunami. And this was actually her key message, and she repeated it over and over again, especially the split and the shaking and the monstrous tsunami. She said that many, many, many people were going to end up suffering on the earth. We had no idea what type of disaster this could be. We didn't know if it was going to be some kind of super earthquake going off. If I say what it is, I would be just really projecting my beliefs onto the message. It could be anything. I don't know what will cause the splitting of the earth. But and she begged for this message to be shared, and she wanted as many spiritual leaders in the world to know this message, which is very rare for Oshun to actually say this. I've only known her to say this maybe twice in my whole time of serving her. One was when I had to see the oracle, and this was the second time. And she actually said she wants this to be her official message to the world. She begged for the spiritual leaders, those who actually lead any kind of community, to really pay attention to this message. And she said that all the spiritual leaders should be doing prayers to the four elemental mothers in their own way. She said it was extremely urgent that these prayers should be done. Oshun said that, and actually it was Oshun Mamaki, because she specifically, Oshun and Mamaki, Mamaki is the same name for Oshun. Oshun is the name for Mamaki. Both these goddess energies are seen as one in the Tibetan culture. So when I have trance, sometimes the deity will say Oshun, and sometimes she actually calls herself Oshun Mamaki, which is when she's kind of like doubling down on her energy. But she said that she predicted that many people will not listen to the message, especially spiritual leaders, and she said many will not do the ceremony to the four elemental mothers. And she said that what she said will come to pass, and that all the leaders who even heard the message and heard the request of the mother herself, she said they will have to live with the consequences. The Oshun said that it's very important that, she said, if there's any ceremonies people are doing, that the ceremonies people should be doing, and I know there's many people who are doing these kind of ceremonies, but she said the ceremonies that people should be doing is to honor and really call on the four elemental mothers for miracles. Every culture has the four elemental mothers. The four elemental mothers are not just elementals as understood in Native American culture. I know in some of the traditions they mention the elementals. These four elemental mothers are the equivalent of the grandmothers. They are actually the great mothers of every culture. And in every culture, these mothers they actually fall into each of the elements. So you have mothers like Kali, who belong to the fire stroke air element. Universal mothers like Oshun, who fall into the water element. You have mother goddesses like Changing Woman, who actually embody all four seasons, all four elements. So these are the mothers we're talking about. So every culture has these mothers. There is no culture that does not have one or more of the four elemental mothers. So really, what I'm asking people to do on behalf of Oshun and all the mothers is to pray to the four mothers that we have no time right now. I know many of us are depressed, including myself, at the state of the world. It's going downhill so fast. But I want to read something to you that I posted on my Facebook just a few days ago to explain what I mean by honoring the four elemental mothers and what Oshun meant. And it's very short. I wrote, "For my sisters and brothers, don't just feel depressed about the fires, floods, etc. of the world. Instead, it is urgent that you channel that energy of depression and anxiety into using your medicine, your gifts, your singing, art, dancing, holding ceremony, prayer from home, praying at the river, etc., to the mother of the four elements. Meditate and do your inner transformation work. The mothers of the four elements are in each culture. Sometimes they combine as one goddess, such as Changing Woman. They need our vibration to strengthen them, and we need them to help heal us. They, with their male counterparts, are the center cosmological wheel of all traditions. We have the power to do this. We have the power to make massive energetic change. Let's not give up. Let's work this together. If not now, then when? If not you, then who?" And this really sums up the energy of the whole prophecy. This prophecy did go to, we sent it to an elder in Africa who actually did it. We did a divination here, then they did a divination, and they said that the prophecy was 100% accurate. They said the Ifa Oracle, which is the Yoruba auricular and traditional system, actually said that this disaster that's been predicted, it will happen, and that the solutions that were given, that the oracle said that these are the solutions to help in to mitigate what is to come, that the elder said that the Ifa Oracle said that Oshun came to speak on behalf of all ancestors, so not just the African ancestors, but all the ancestors, which is actually the role that Oshun and mother goddesses like her play. They're normally the head of the ancestors because it's the mother is the first ancestress. And then the prophecy went to Kutanla, the medium, the state medium of the Tibetan, sorry, the Tibetan state medium of the Nechong Oracle. We actually saw him in person in San Francisco, and he resonated. He said he resonated very strongly with the message. And in fact, when we met him, they were doing a world prayer. He said that we're praying to the four elemental mothers and the Buddha family to mitigate all disasters and the anger of the mothers and the ancestors and of the Buddha families. So basically, we feel down, but we are really in, unfortunately, the way I've been given prophecy, the things that I see for the future are normally warnings. This is how it's always been for me since I was young. Some people see other things. But I received the messages from the ancestors and the mother, and then they are the things that foresee the future, that this is very urgent, that everyone is, I see so many people doing ceremony, but we need to focus our ceremonies based on what the mother is saying, and the mothers, and this message actually bounces off from a message from we're in 2019, so 2017, when I went to India, it was a message from Oshun to tell me to find the oracle, to share with him about the catastrophic disasters that will happen in the earth. And when I shared the message, he said he received the exact same message with almost the exact same words. And I told him that I was told he had the solution. This is why I had to find him. And he said, "Yes, I was given the solution 2 days before you arrived in Dharamsala." And he said the solution was to honor the four elemental mothers. So that was 2 years ago. So now the bit more detail about the disasters has come. And Oshun talked about Australia also. She named Australia and India separately. And that's in the audio. And she said Australia will is going to have a very catastrophic disaster, but she didn't say what it was going to be. And she said India is going to have a couple of catastrophic disasters which will center around the flooding. They're going to have a lot of flooding, but extremely on the extreme end of severe. So this is it, that how can we honor the four elemental mothers in each of our cultures? There are people I know like Grandmother Robin Youngblood, who's doing the earth dance, Robbie Warren, who's doing the fire dance, Jyoti, Darlene, and CSS, who are doing a lot of prayers to the mothers, and there's many around the world. We can do these prayers. What Oshun said in the trance is that the biggest and most powerful prayers will actually be the smaller prayers, will be when we pray by ourselves, when we pray in small groups. She said that a prayer with just 2 to 3 people or one person is more powerful than 100, 200 people coming together if the intent is correct. So what Oshun was saying, that we have to be the ceremony, that when you do your morning prayers or your evening prayers, pray, do a simple prayer to the four elemental mothers with all your heart. If you dance, if you sing, see that as ceremony. Use your medicine. We all form a song line of the four elemental mothers. In Aboriginal culture, that song line is marked. It marks all the sacred sites of the earth. It also helps us to get across difficult terrain. And what they do, they sing that song line awake. Within the songs and the dances and the prayers and the ceremonies is the law, the living, vibrant law of that song line that keeps the earth alive. Our four elemental mothers have a song line. They have a song line that traverses the whole of this earth. So we need to be singing to them. We need to be dancing to them. We need to be praying. We need to be doing our art to them. We need to be doing all these things. So the song line of the four elemental mothers pops alive. This is not about ownership. This is not about any one culture. This is about something everyone can do. If we don't do anything else, and if we do one last thing with our dying breath, we need to get back into a conversation with our four elemental mothers, known in different names in different cultures. We need them. We need the mother of fire, water, air, and earth. We need these mothers. They form the basis of everything. Our breath is air. Our body is earth. Our heartbeat is fire. The water, we are 70%. Everything is made up of these mothers, and we have dishonored them. We have disgraced them. We have humiliated them. We have abused them. And so how do we expect, and when I say we, because I know we who are on this call are doing a lot, but in terms of our earth, how do we expect them to keep on sustaining us? So now we have to strengthen them. We have to apologize and strengthen them. And right now we have to call on them for some serious miracles, because we have almost passed a tipping edge. And this is the message Oshun has always given me. We are past and almost past a tipping edge. Once I spoke to Kredar Mutwa, which was in 2012, I had a phone call and a prayer session with him, a global prayer session he helped to lead. But in a private conversation, he said to myself and Chief Olu, he said, in my culture, which is the Zulu culture, when we are in the midst of a existential threat, he said, we go to the river and we pray to the mother for miracles. That we know, he said, it's only the feminine, only the mother goddess who can save the day. And he said, we do these prayers in times of emergencies. Know that we are in times of emergencies. Doing ceremony, doing prayer is not a luxury. Doing inner offerings where we give up our shadow selves, because many people in the spiritual circles, we pray but we are not working sincerely and with great intent on the shadows within. those shadows belong to each of the elemental mothers. In when those mothers are not in balance, the anger, the pride, the jealousies, these each belong, and we need to transmute these. We need to transmute anger, which is a passion, into compassion, ignorance into clarity. Kutanla, when we saw him, and so on, and Kutanla, when we saw him, this time round, he said, when he heard the prophecy, he said, also tell the people to honor the four elemental mothers, but he said, tell them they must embody compassion, kindness, and tolerance. And he said, these three things, he said, will help save the world. But on a final note, only because of the urgency Oshun gave this message with, that I know that it's very urgent. I'm so grateful to Jyoti and Darlene for even giving this chance, because, you know, I know many of you have also had messages. It's very hard to get a message out, you know. And this particular, Oshun is a very universal mother. She's very strong, and she's known in Africa to cross from culture to culture. She mixes, she blends with all the other mothers, and this is what she's known for. She's a wisdom goddess. In fact, she's a divination goddess, so she's known for her auricular abilities. So as a vessel for Oshun, and also as an oracle, a recognized oracle of Oshun and Mamaki, my only duty, despite whether I know whether how far this is going to go, is to tell everyone it's urgent. There's no time for luxury. Really do the work. Really do the prayers. Spread it far and wide. Know that you are part of a song line that exists. One person is like an acupuncture point. We are each... important, therefore, because each person is an acupuncture point in the body, which forms a river of meridians, and meridian means river of light. So we form a river of light on our earth. We're part of Mother Earth's meridian system. That means you're important. One acupuncture point can actually heal the entire channel of the body. So know that you are important, and know when you speak, the mother will hear you, the ancestors will hear you. I have seen in Africa where three people come together, two people have come together in ceremony, and I have seen miraculous things happen from those ceremonies. On a final note, in Nigeria, they do an annual oracle reading where up to 1,000 priests gather together, and they chant for 24 hours a day for 10 days nonstop. And on about towards the last day, they bring the living oracle down into the head of the whole tradition, and they bring a world reading. And hundreds of priests have been chanting, and the reading they brought down for this year, which is very interesting because this is all men, it's a very patriarchal system. So the message they brought for the year, for the world reading, was this. They said that the women must be honored. The feminine principle must be honored and called upon. Men must not insult women for this year. Whether you're a politician, a husband of someone, you must not insult the women because you will anger the mothers. They said it's the mother energy that will save the world. It's the mother energy that will bring the balance back that's so desperately needed into the world. They said it's only the mother energy that will be able to do this for us. They said we have to call on those mother energies. One of the presiding deities for the year are the Iyami. The Iyami are the powerful group of up to 7 female deities. They represent the overall powerful feminine energy, the Iyami. They fly as birds. They're like the Dakini. And all the goddesses are seen as Iyami. All women are seen as Iyami. So this means besides the men, the women is by us women really honoring the four elemental mothers. Maybe we were born in these times to do this. you know, it's through our wombs, through our waters, that we have that direct, very strong commune with the mothers. So on a final note, I'm calling on us women to really rise, you know. Let's shake off that depression, or let's turn that depression and anxiety into action, and take this from someone who's extremely depressed about the state of the world, you know, because things are going very, very fast now. We can see the intolerance. That's why Kutanla spoke about intolerance. Sorry, about tolerance. We see the lack of kindness. That's why Kutanla spoke about kindness. We see the lack of compassion. We see all these things, and we're burning the earth up with all this hatred. So we have it in us. We have it in us to, this is what we were born for. Our alchemy right now is going to unlock itself. We are going to be able to perform miracles. We can call on the rain. We can, like they're doing for the Amazon fires. We can call on the rain. We can call on the earth. We can bring that vibration of change. And even if we don't believe it, because in times of depression, a lot of times our belief disappears, you know. And I know from even my own experience of how I feel sometimes. But we have to suspend all disbelief, and we just got to do it. And I'm just going to end with this message. If not now, then when? If not you, then who? Ashe.
Ashe.
Ooh, Ashe.
I just want to take a moment and just be still. There's such a strong presence here with us now. Give gratitude for this presence, for the teachings that it's seeding in all of us tonight. I particularly give gratitude, Omi, for some of what you were talking about the anger. I don't know, some of you may know Charles Einstein, but I recently was sent a video that he did, because with the fire, a lot of anger is coming up and people are starting to push against what is, blame what's happening and blame someone and be angry with the governments and be angry. And what he's reminding us of in this video, and I'm going to get a copy of it and get it out on our, as soon as Margene gets back from her holiday maybe, I want to get this out because the message is very wonderful. And what he says in there is that, you know, it's the anger is not how we need to respond. We need to really take that anger and put it into a positive response to what's going on. This is really about something that's falling down. And if we get caught and pulled into the division again, into the split again, then we won't take this opportunity to move towards our wholeness and towards our healing. And I know that's a big ask, but it really is the ask. Right now, it is exactly what has been given here tonight, that it's kindness and compassion, tolerance, and standing for what you want the world to be what you want that world to walk in that reality and be it now. That's what we'll call it fully in. At least that's the way my old ones tell me. So, With that said, then I would really like, Margene, now, let's open this up so that if people have been inspired, if they want to share something, have questions, this is the time when we want an open dialogue with you. So if you do have a question or want to speak to Omi or to Chief Olu, just press number 1 on your phone and Margene will call upon you.
We have one person, adorable, Your mic is open. Hello?
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes. Hi, my name is Adorable. I'm calling from Oakland, California. I just want to say peace and blessings and thank you. It is such an inspiration for myself as an uplifter in my community, as an organizer, as a spiritual organizer, to be on this call. I feel like every part of my being feels activated in this moment. And I guess what's coming up for me, I mean, I could talk for a while as to how honored I am to be here listening in and sending healing medicine towards what I'm healing, what I'm hearing and feeling. And I have an astrological background, so a lot of the things I'm hearing about the earth shaking is confirmed by astrology as well. So that was really like, wow, for me. And I have a radio show that's called Melanated and Spiritually Woke, where I talk about what's happening within the spiritual world, specifically as it relates to Indigenous people of color, and hope to then take this information, and if it feels good, I'd love feedback. If it feels good to share some of what I've heard today on my radio show, I would love to do that and to open my callers up to and my listeners up to doing these prayers for the great grandmothers and just kind of further just taking this energy and uplifting it and putting it into the community. So that's one question. If it's okay to share this on, it's an online radio station. And then the second is something that's coming through me right now is something around, we recently did an all-black plant medicine ceremony in my home. And we had the women at a certain point in the ceremony get into a circle and had a moment for us to, and we're very like Oshun-themed plant medicine group. It's very Oshun-based. We had woman who just got initiated from South Africa in the space with us, and it was beautiful, but a huge part of what came up was girls, like little girls, and there was something around just how to hold girls, and I'm curious if my second question is about, I know we're talking about the great grandmothers, but is there also anything around, I'm just getting around young girls or youth, or how to engage youth in this process. I work with youth as well, and would just love some guidance as a young person from the wise people on this phone line as to how I can engage with young people, and specifically girls, because that feels like a calling within me to just name as well. So just, I just want to say thank you again for letting me be here. It's really a pleasure and honor. Thank you so much.
Ashe. I don't know who's going to answer first, Jyoti or...
Go, you go. No, I'm. This is up to the two of you. And
okay.
I can jump in if I want to, but I really want to hear what you guys have to say.
You know, I'm really glad, Adorable, that you... And I love Adorable. I love that name.
I know. That's a great name.
So I'm really glad you mentioned the girls and the children. Because actually, ironically, this came up in my meditation a few days ago. I've just finished a children's series that's based on the image of my daughter. And it's a whole painting series called Peace I Am, or something like that. Peace is me. And it came out of not seeing enough children of color embodied as images of peace. You know, I'm a mindfulness teacher, I'm a counselor in the school system and clinical mental health, and I do a lot of mindfulness workshops, and I can never find images of children of color where they're featured doing meditation and yoga and just being peace and beautiful, you know. And so the reason why I mention this, I just finished the painting series, which is going to be a book in December now. And as I had put that message out on Facebook, it came to my spirit that I need to really remind people about the children, you know, as we get activated and we keep on activating, what about the children? you know, and I know Josie does a Stargate thing with the kids, which is amazing. In terms of the girls, there is a need to really work with the girls and all girls, but one piece that's missing is, I have to say, girls of color, because and peoples of color, the young girls, because there are many young girls who are not of color. They have many empowerment, sometimes many empowerment things to go to, especially when their parents are into ceremony and things like that. But there is a need for the all girls, but also the girls of color, because actually it's the Black Mother Goddess who's actually coming forward. We're in the dark moon cycle of the Earth and humanity cycle. And so that period of when new things are being seeded belongs to the whole dark moon and new moon cycle, which is actually governed by the Black Mother Goddesses. This is their period. This is why so many black females are actually coming forward so strongly. If you look at all areas of the politics, the film industry, like everywhere you see this energy rising through the black women, and this is something that's often not spoken about. We talk about the rise of the mother goddess, but what's happening within that very rise is the rise of actually one of our first ancestresses, which is the mother goddess of color, is actually the mother of us all. So that was just mentioning, that's why I brought that particular series out, was to empower this energy. In terms of girls overall, I think raising our girls to be strong girls is something I say to my daughter. You know, you're a strong girl. I take her down to the river with me. She goes down to the river. We go for walks. We always talk about the earth and the waters. And I see this as an ongoing process. But maybe what's really needed also is rites of passages. I know some women have begun these processes, but what's missing for all young people, girls and the boys, and are the rites of passages, which actually made societies much more stabilized and stronger. Our children are really losing their way. I'm talking about like around the world, and what's missing are rites of passages that mark each stage of our existence. Even our earth is going through a menopause. I see this like a menopause, going to another stage. Our earth is going into this whole new stage of like the crone stage, the wisdom stage. And so, but there's no rites of passages. When you don't have rites of passages, so when a woman is transitioning into menopause or any stage of her first menses, any stage of her life, or motherhood, if that's not marked by rites of passages, then there's a depression and an anxiety that can set on, because you're not clear about the fact you've just been thrust into a whole nother role. And so this is why our children are kind of getting lost, have the danger of getting lost, that we need rites of passages for our children and definitely for the girls, in like as many as we can get in there. And also as mothers and parents, we can do this from day one, every day, every breath, teach them about a mindful way of being with the earth and with people, a tolerance, kindness, and compassion that is like a flower. It grows very slowly from a seed. So this is it in a nutshell, what I believe, without making it too long-winded. Rites of passages and life lessons of kindness, tolerance, and compassion is the key to prepare them for the future, because we are not really the leaders. We're clearing the ways. The children, as Credo Mutwa said to me, and he said this all the way from 2012, he said, the world is going into a great darkness. He said, it's the children who will be the lights of tomorrow. They will lead the way. They will come up with the solutions.
Can I interject a little
bit?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, yes, share the message and the prayers with your radio anywhere, at the top of the roof to the bottom of the basement. The parties, the ceremonies, walking to work, going to church, anywhere. This needs to get out, and you are empowered, and we actually are requesting that you share it. That's number one. Number two, on the children, especially the young girls, I would say, you know, I'm coming from a place of protection. And as the feminine empowerment starts to really roll, a lot of these patriarchal beings are going to resist it and are going to attack. And we've seen that on the world stage, where these beautiful young, sometimes very young, sometimes not so young, women are coming out and standing ground, becoming fierce and heard. There's a lot of resistance and attacks. So I'm mostly concerned about that. To me, the best medicine for that, for our children, and our daughter, who has just turned 9 today, Omolulu's birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We're spending part of her birthday with you guys. So,
yes.
Very, very intriguing that this question came up, but I will quickly say, to me, it's important and essential that you bring them to the ceremony. There is no reason in the world why these children should not be in the ceremony. And by having them in the ceremony, it becomes a natural growth, a natural affinity for prayers, ceremony, kindness, love, seeing the women working, seeing the men working with the women, what it looks like, what it feels like, and the spirit is real. And some of these children are already seeing and hearing and experiencing spiritual things that they're not even talking about. So bring them into the ceremony. Keep them in ceremony as much as you can.
Ashe, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for your question. Keep in touch with us and let us know the response that you get when you put it on your radio show. That'd be wonderful to hear.
Ashe.
Now, someone else have a question?
Yes. Inea, your mic is open.
Hi, good evening to you guys all. First, I'd like to say thank you all for the very much needed and important work that you guys are doing in the world. And my question, it's just one pretty short question, is to Omi. I'm very, very interested in the priestess training so that I could learn more how I could further help and hold these ceremonies, because I've been feeling strongly called to do these kinds of work, and I try to do what I can with what I have at the moment, and I believe in divine timing. But the messages have been coming on strong that I need to do these kinds of work, and I just, you know, I'm learning. I feel like I'm in that cocoon phase, if you will, where I'm just remembering and developing these skills and sitting with everything and, yeah, overcoming, healing myself and overcoming a lot so that I'm able to step into my path and fulfill my destiny, if you will. So I was interested in knowing if you are still holding these trainings, and I wasn't sure which email to send my message to, so I had sent it to 2 emails, and I'm not sure if you guys had received it or not, but I figured since I'm on the call, I may as well, you know, ask.
That's a good question. I had sent out a group email saying that I was asked to postpone the priestess training, for elemental mother priestess training, because things are going so rapidly downhill, to focus on holding ceremonies to the four elemental mothers and encouraging people to hold the ceremonies. So it had to get postponed. So I'll be doing, myself and Olu will be doing twice monthly calls, online ceremonies, four elemental mother ceremonies, chance where people can kind of get a feel of what it's like. But also we're asking people to do four elemental mother ceremonies, and anyone who shares their ceremony with us, we just pass it on to other people as well and let them know this is happening. But us doing online is our bit. What I am going to do, though, is I'm going to maybe make a short video just helping people who need some small guidance on how to just get some people kick-started. How can they honor the four elemental mothers? And I teach in a universal way, so I'm able to do that in a universal way where someone can just apply it to their own culture and say, oh, yeah, we do this in our culture, and this is how I can enhance it, or something like that. So a lot of people were disappointed in the priestess training that it was postponed, but understood that the ceremonies are actually urgent because the training was going to be 8 months long. So much can happen in 8 months, you know, really. And I couldn't make it any shorter because I had to keep the integrity of the teachings. So, you know, I think 8 months, so much is going to happen. There's a lot of prayers we can fit into that particular time, you know. But, you know, feel free also to give me a call or an email if you wanted any personal advice about that. But I'll also send out a group email just sort of giving people some pointers as to how they can do the honoring, because it might be helpful for some people.
And I'll add to that, the postponement came through divination as well. We got the message and we divined on it. So essentially we're saying that the weekly or biweekly prayers, we haven't really established. I know Omi has got some coming up in a couple of days, but we were told that prayer, ceremonial prayer, it is going to be very powerful. And that anyone who wanted to learn how to carry ceremony should just join the prayers, because it is going to be the ceremony that has been asked directly by the mothers. That's what we should be about. So repeating it over and over again, a person will become very familiar and eventually be very comfortable doing those prayers, ceremonies themselves. So our expectation is that the people who join these prayers will actually end up being the people who see these prayers outside the community.
So could some of the information that y'all are talking about, could you send it to Marjean and she can make sure that everybody that registered for the call tonight would get some of that in your email and maybe phone number or whatever, or however they would connect with you? Would that be something that would help facilitate this?
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea, and we appreciate it for you putting that out there. So, yeah, I'll definitely email that to you guys.
Great.
Thank you, Ashe.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashe.
Next question.
Next question. Durga, your mic is open.
Hello. Thank you. Hello. I just, first of all, am so very grateful to be called to be a part of this very powerful circle. I live in a somewhat self-imposed isolation, although when I got this email and listened to the tape, I forwarded it to people in my community who do lead ceremony, and have heard nothing back from them. What was a great comfort to me, and I've heard this a couple of times from different sources in the last week or so is that even that it's fine, even though it's the Aquarian age, it's fine for me to be working on my own, and I will carry this missive and this instruction. I live close to the ocean, and I will go daily and offer my prayers, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of this. I just also wanted to mention, which we probably all already know, is that today is the new moon, so it's the perfect day to set this intention that we're going to do this. And the other thing about that, I looked up a little bit about Changing Woman because I didn't really know anything about her. And one of the things that came up is that she represents transformation and a rebalancing of the male and female energies in the universe. So it's a rebalancing of the male and female energies. So yes, we'll honor the mother and the mothers, and that's what we're told to do. But I believe that part of what they want is for us to find balance within ourselves of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And today is a day when there is an alignment and a connection between Venus and Mars in Virgo, where the union of the inner divine feminine and masculine may be brought into equilibrium. So this is a very auspicious moment for us to set our intention to follow the direction we've been getting. So anyway, that's all I have to say, but thank you so much. And even though I'm feeling a little by myself here, I feel very, very much connected to this. I'm aligned with this grid of love and prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ashe.
Ashe, very beautifully put. Very moving. Thank you for sharing about the Venus. And I had looked into that, and you're right, it's the new moon, and it's all very auspicious timing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Omileye always refers me back to Men of From What, Men of From Mars and Women of From Venus book and works to remind me that there is actually a difference, and that, you know, as a divine feminine masculine combination that we attempt to be, we constantly have to work on that balance. And so, yeah, I really appreciate the perspective. I will say that the transformation is enormously involved with putting the woman back on top or bringing her back into the forefront. So I personally, as a masculine perspective, I personally think that we've really ruined the balance of the world by trying to have this patriarchal-controlled world. And we're in a mess. And I don't think we'll get back out of this mess until we get the divine feminine back in her proper position, where she can actually make decisions, give us guidance, love, and light, and wisdom, and that the divine male will be okay with that, the strength and power. So, yeah, Ashe.
Ashe, thank you.
Ashe.
Another question or input?
Yes, hello.
Inspiration?
Hello.
Yes, you have the horse league.
Yes, Rock League. I want to just say that this has been absolutely phenomenal. A friend, I live in New York, I'm in Hudson Valley. And the friend passed this on to me last week through an email, and I had not heard of it, even though, you know, I've lived in California, but I haven't been there for a while. I'm just glad that you're there. I want to just say that this has really aired and lifted my heart from I went to graduate school in San Francisco, and I got an MA in the Women's Spirituality program there. And I wrote my thesis, which was called Nearing the Moon and Celebrating the Four Phases of Womanhood. I've done some work. I'm also a preacher survivor, so I've done a lot of work. And I've also been initiated into the yoga. But recently I created a program called the Ebony Lotus Project.
Can you talk a little closer to the phone?
Can you hear me? Hold on. Let me turn my is that better?
Something's clicking really loud.
Is that better? That better?
Keep going.
Okay. I was saying that I created a program called the Ebony Lotus Project that is a rite of passage program for all three phases of womanhood. When I initially created it several years ago, the focus was really on young women from 18 to 25. The Spirit had guided me to that there are no rites of passages for the other group, the other phase, and I wrote that in my thesis. And so I have included that. I'm in the process of implementing this right now, within the next month. So everything that you said has just been for confirmation, and I also would like to get your information so that at some point I would really love for you to be to come and speak to the group at some time. And this rite of passage includes teaching from mystery school, as well as a great focus on art. So, again, I'm just very, very grateful to you and your partner and to people who invited you. And I just want to say love and light and blessings to everyone. And I will definitely, definitely be doing the ceremonial rituals, to the four elemental mothers. Thank you, Alafia Ashe.
Thank you so much, Anashe.
Alafia.
There was a lot of clicking, so I couldn't hear everything, but thank you for everything. It was very unclear on our side.
So very, very briefly, she was, briefly, sweetie, she was talking about her thesis about doing rituals and ceremonies, and she has a package that's almost being prepared and released in a month for the ceremony that you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Rites of passage.
Oh, cool.
For women, young women.
Nice.
And she said her thesis spoke about the fact that this was missing.
Oh.
Especially with older women as well.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to have that dialogue again where you can find out what that's all about and how that would work.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for doing that work. It's so needed. Beautiful. Wow.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me better now?
I can, but when you turn on your phone, there's some kind of clicking that starts. So there's a click from that other world, maybe.
Maybe because I'm all the way here in New York. I also had you on speaker, but I took the speaker off, and I just have you on speaker on my phone. Is this better?
Much better.
Oh, okay then. Omi, what I was saying is that I wrote my thesis was called Mirroring the Moon, Celebrating and Honoring the Three Phases of Womanhood. And I have created a rite of passage program called the Ebony Lotus Project. Before I go any further, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, okay, wonderful. And it is a rites of passage program for all of the three major cycles. You know, we know that there are 13 moon cycles, but, you know, we're focusing on Virgin, Mother, and Crone. Instead, I'm calling it the Empress stage, because when I wrote my thesis, many of the older women said they did not like that word Crone, and so I changed it to Wise Elders or to the Empress. And what you have shared tonight has just been such a powerful confirmation for me to keep continue to move forward with this work. You all are in California. It's not as easy to do this work here on the East Coast, but, you know, I am moving forward with it, and I am, you know, I was brought here back to the East Coast, you know, to do this work. And so the four elemental ceremony rituals to the elements, that is definitely going to be a part of all of the rites of passages for each stage from here on out, because I feel so deeply what you have just shared. As I was saying earlier, that I have been initiated into Santa Rio, which is, you know, the new world aspect of the Yoruba. Yemaya is on my head, and you know, of course, I don't have to tell you, you know who Yemaya is, you know, the mother of the ocean. And just the deep love that I feel coming from everyone on this call, but especially when you were speaking, I do know a Cradle Mutwa also, and it's just such wonderful, wonderful, wonderful input. And, you know, urgency to let us know that Mother Gaia is not playing with us, the ancestors are not playing with us, and they mean business. And what they're saying, if we want this world to change, we have to be the world, that we have to stand up and be the change that we want to see. And again, like I said, it's just a confirmation, but I also had said at the end of the previous conversation that you couldn't hear me, I would love to connect with you and have you come at some point to speak, you know, to the different groups. The program's going to be a year long, and I'm only going to start with 10 young women, but I'm going to be doing public ceremony rites of passages that include everyone and not just the girls who are in, you know, the project, you know, like for that year. So if I could get your information through what the other lady was saying, you know, if you could post it, the center or whatever, I mean, I'd be more than happy to give you my information. But whichever way works for you, you know, I would just love to be able to maintain a connection.
Thank you. And we'll make sure that she's going to be sending us her information, particularly with some of the direction that she was suggesting, and her information will be there. And Margin will send it out to all those that registered for this call tonight, so you'll surely get it that way. Our evening is coming to a close. We have time maybe for one more quick question.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that we check. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Jane, your mic is open.
Hi, Omi and Derek. Thank you so much for all of your presence and teaching and wisdom. And I just wanted to say thank you for the reminder that, you know, it's powerful if we're just by ourselves or one other person, two other people, so not to get caught up in, you know, any worry of trying to gather bigger and bigger groups or that we have to do anything, you know, exotic or large, you know, that really we are the ceremony. And so thank you for that reminder. And I really felt that this morning early. And I just wondered if something came to you at this moment. I have Akoya, is 4.5, and he's got so much fire right now and so much just outburst of anger over so many little things. And just to hold the tolerance and compassion and kindness with him has been a real challenge for me. And I know that is, I can feel the effect of that I am not being, you know, a walking ceremony when I'm with my son, when he's like that. I am being, a volcano myself. So if there's any tidbit you have on that, and then the second piece is also, you know, those other places that we bump up against, whether they're people or institutions that have that anger or have that indignation, how to dance with that and hold that and how to be a bridge, and not to fight back, because I see myself, I know better, but I see myself fighting back. So it's just something that's up for me right now.
Ashe, with the children, I do a lot of counseling with children, and the most important thing is, children, they get upset. They're still learning about the world, how their power in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they also teach us mindfulness, because with children, because we get tired as well. We're tired, we get anxious. And so we can use our child as also the ceremony. They're helping us become the ceremony, where we have to see why are we getting angry, and also learning to work with our own energy. And at the same time, knowing that our calmness, what I've found as a counselor, so someone once said this, if you tell someone, especially a child, slap your face but you stroke your chin, the person's actually going to stroke their chin. It's an experiment that's been done over and over again. So what I've discovered working with a lot of children is that, so a parent might say, stop shouting! Just stop shouting! You've just modeled a whole behavior, and they will actually copy not what you said, but what you just did.
Right.
So when I'm working with parents, I have my own counseling. I have my own counseling organization. So I work with a lot of parents on this. It's very difficult, and I have to try this. I also try it myself. But you have to always model what you want the child to be, And what something amazing happens, they begin to eventually model that calm, that wisdom, that love, and that tolerance back to you. And also through just giving life lessons. So if a child is angry, like my daughter was going through a lot of angry outbursts all the time, is actually trying to figure out what's causing the anger. And that's the piece that you work with. So for children, sometimes my daughter, it was a simple thing. She didn't know how to so she'll get angry over everything rather than saying, I feel upset because you did this or because I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I realized was the key for her anger. And so we worked on it. And we worked on her actually stating what her needs were rather than shouting. And then
mm-hmm.
we worked on her modulating her voice, realizing when you speak to people, there's different tones of voices you can use to get different results. So it sounds very simple, but she used to have so many angry outbursts, and it all stopped. Within the space of 2 weeks, it was all done,
mm-hmm.
you have to find out what is the core of the anger. Maybe there's certain needs being unmet. Maybe they're just feeling their space and their power in a certain way. And modeling, it's very hard, but modeling that calm and using that as your own inner prayer.
Right.
And being the bridge, just on a final note, what I realize is you've got to meet people where they're at. I was riding in an Uber just 2 days ago, and I was complaining that I had this female Uber driver who was white, and I was not complaining, we were talking, and then somehow where we live, Asheville came up, and she said, how do you like Asheville? I said, I love it, but it lacks diversity. And there was this stony, cold silence. And I suddenly thought, oops, because most people in Asheville are pretty liberal. And I suddenly felt like, oh, there's a, maybe she's not a liberal, you know, maybe she's very conservative. And as I said it again, I said, you know, I love it, but there's just no diversity. I loved Florida. There's diversity. And she said nothing again. So what I did, I met her where she was at, and I said, well, tell me a little bit about yourself, but not quite like so cheesy, in such a cheesy way. But, you know, I started asking her about her, and it became a really beautiful conversation. I met her where she was at. You know, so part of being a bridge, and I have to, as a woman of color, but someone doing spiritual work, and also a lot of cross-cultural work I do, not just within, even though I practice the Ifa tradition and also Tibetan Buddhism, but I, as almost like my second religion, but I bridge a lot of different cultures. That's why the four elemental mothers that I teach is universal, meaning it can actually go to any culture and be authentic in its own right. Mm-hmm. So I just meet people where they're at. That's the best thing. And it creates the least it creates a path of least resistance.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. Ashe.
Ashe.
And that's a wonderful way to bring out some closing to this beautiful, beautiful offering. Again, I just give great thanks for you, Omi, and Chief Olu, and for who you are, the presence that you bring into all dialogues. That has been my experience. And now if you could give us one more blessing by closing this with a song that will just bring that gratitude, that compassion, that tolerance, that love back into our space once again and revitalize it, restore it, so when we leave this call, we can flow like clean, clear water into our families and communities and bring good medicine where we are.
Ashe.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ashe.
So, Omi, before you grace us with that, can I say one other thing?
Please.
Yes.
Please.
So I just wanted to share one, we are on the East Coast in Asheville, North Carolina, sister from Yemenya. And the other thing I wanted to share was Yeye spoke about Mama Oshun and Mama Ki being the same goddess. And my experience and what I see in this union is a very important aspect of what we're going through in this world. And short and briefly, it's oneness. It's the ability for all cultures, no matter where you're coming from as a human, to be one again. These goddesses, a spiritual world, has come to represent that oneness. That two cultures that are pretty much separated by man has come back together to do what they need to do to bring this world back to peace. We as humans need to take that on board. No matter, we know on this call is very diverse. We represent many different cultures. But we really, at the end of the day, we represent one human. We need to get it together and be one in love and consciousness so we can wrap this up and be peaceful again.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Jay, beautiful. I love that. So with that, I'm going to thank Center of Sacred Studies, all the ancestors and mothers that guide your work, and Jyoti and Darlene and Marjean and all those involved. I give thanks to the mothers and ancestors for bringing this opportunity to us to come together as one. I give thanks to all those that guide us on our mother's side, on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side, the father's side. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you, Jyoti. Thank you, darlings. Darlene.
Love it.
That's Eshu having a laugh with me. And thank you for everything. And as that Freudian slip happened, it made me realize, if you don't mind, I'll sing two short songs because Eshu just came up. And so I'm going to sing to open the way for all of us, to open the way for our ceremonies by singing to the divine son of the mother, who in all cultures opens the way. He's Eshu, he's Jesus, he's Ganesh. And in fact, Jesus has the same name as Eshu. If you take the J away and the S away, it's Eshu. And also, like, Eshu is on the crossroad. Eshu is very important in these times. This divine male masculine energy is very important. It represents the belief systems that need to change. And in many stories of the mother saving the world, she works alongside her divine son, Anubis, Sebek, Eshu, Ganesh, Jesus, and all these divine sons. So in Yoruba ceremonies, we sing to Eshu often first, and then we sing the next song. So if you don't mind, can I sing two short ones, mm-hmm. if that would be okay?
Mm-hmm. Please.
Please. All right. So I'll sing Eshu to clear the way. Eshu Dara Mojiba Aye Aye Eshu Dara Mojiba Alamonde Eshu Dara Mojiba Eshu Dara Eshu Dara Mojiba Aye Aye Eshu Dara Mojiba Alamonde Eshu Dara Mojiba Eshu Dara Eshu Dara Mojiba Aye Aye Eshu Dara Mojiba Alamonde Eshu Dara Mojiba Eshu Dara Koko Hadera Adera Koko Koko Hadera Adera Koko Koko Hadera Adera Koko Koko Hadera Adera Koko La Roye Laroye, Laroye, oh Laroye, 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 oh Laroye, Eshu Eshu. Eshu Dara, Eshu Dara, Eshu Dara, Eshu Eshu, Eshu Dara, Eshu Dara, Eshu Dara, La Roye, La Roye.
Give great thanks, we give great thanks, we give great thanks.
Okay,
and now, Marjean, if you would... Oh, sorry,
oh,
go I'll ahead.
Just, I need to just do Oshun. It's going to be real quick.
Oh,
was,
sorry.
That was all Eshu. It's okay.
Oh, excuse me.
So I'll just do a quick one to Oshun. Ore, yeah, yeah. Ore, yeah, yeah. Oshun, ore, yeah, yeah. Ore ye ye Oshun, ore ye ye, ore ye ye Oshun, ore ye ye, ore ye ye Oshun, ore ye ye, ore ye ye, ore ye ye Oshun, ore ye ye, ore ye ye Oshun, ore ye ye, ore ye ye Oshun. Ore ye ye, ore ye ye, Oshun, ashe, ashe.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I know we've gone a little over tonight, but I think it's many jewels that have fallen into your basket. May you have good dreams, and may these be the inspirations to help you lighten your load a little bit by stepping a little more gently on the earth and by standing in the presence of your own truth. This is our wish and prayer for all. So at this point, Margene, if you would open up everyone's line, then everybody can say good night, and we love you, and blessings, blessings, blessings. Thank you so much.
Love you.
Omi, thank you so much.
Thank you, Omi. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy
birthday.
Okay, good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Ashay.